From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 28, 2009. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends in geospatial technologies. We look at all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we take a look at the House Natural Resources Committee Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources hearing, which was held this week, and the topic was Federal Geospatial Data Management. The committee heard testimony from federal, state, private industry, and professional organization representatives. We'll look at what was said and what the hearing may mean for the future. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Improve the performance of your web maps and make your authoritative data more broadly available with ArcGIS 931. For more information, visit www.esri.com/what's new.
This hearing, which was held Thursday of last week, we can't really figure out exactly why it was being held at this time, but we can tell you what the goal was. And I'm going to quote from the subcommittee's description of that. The federal government spends billions of dollars each year to acquire and manage geospatial data, which go into making maps for consumers, state and local officials, and emergency responders, among others. The Department of the Interior has estimated that up to half of the federal investment in geospatial data is redundant. The subcommittee will examine how the federal government manages the geospatial activities of its various agencies and how information sharing between federal, state, and local governments and between the public and private sectors can be improved. The hearing was led by Representative Jim Costa, and there were four witnesses, as they are called: Susan Marlow, president of Smart Data Strategies; John Palatiello, the executive director of MAPS; Michael Byrne, the GIO of the state of California; and Karen Sideralis, the GIO of the Department of Interior and acting chair of the FGDC. Just to put this in context, the last oversight hearing was in 2004. What was learned at that hearing was that the federal government could not quantify how much it was spending on geospatial activities and that coordination efforts needed improvement. And here we are 5 years later, and as Jim Costa opened the hearing, he noted how much had changed between 2004 and today. In particular, everything that's going on with mapping on the internet and Google Maps and Bing Maps and mobile phones and LBS, there's been this explosion in the location and location technology. And he also noted that most people really have no idea what goes into the collection of that data and the sharing of that data. And what we're going to do today is walk through each of the statements by the witnesses and try to tease out what important things were said. So let's start with Susan Marlow from SDS, and I know you've read through what she said. What struck you in that discussion?
So Susan Marlow, I thought, had an interesting take, and I read through her testimony, and I thought she had a fairly profound statement that she made to the committee. Smart Data Strategies tackles a lot of issues related to parcel management. She had this statement, and I quote, "While FedEx can track the location of millions of packages per day moving around the world, the federal government does not track the location of land, and it is stationary. The ability and privilege of land ownership is an important characteristic of any free and democratic society. It's why we refer to it as the American dream." I thought her point was truly cogent and probably hopefully woke up the committee, the fact that we're not doing a very good job of managing the vast resources of geospatial data. And she pointed out the fact that, hey, look, we got a private sector industry here doing a much better job of managing something maybe 10 times as complicated, and we can't even get it right just to manage our parcels. I thought she probably nailed it right on the head.
Right, and I was also struck by that same quote, because it's sort of like the "we can put a man on the moon, but we can't cure the common cold" kind of thing.
Right.
That just laid it out.
Well, and the other thing she said was, it was right after that same statement, she says, "The current mortgage crisis leaves no doubt that land ownership and the associated rights, interests, and value of property is foundational to our entire socioeconomic system." And it sounded like she quoted right from the keynote speaker at the ESRI conference last week, Hernando de Soto, who was essentially expressing the exact same sentiments, except he was putting in the context of what he's trying to do in developing countries. Again, two statements, just very, very cogent.
Right, and that same statement also was echoed in the National Research Council's study, National Land Parcel Data, A Vision for the Future, which is another one of those National Research Council reports. And there was a lot of effort to tie together this idea that if we had a national parcel database, we may have been able to track things like the upcoming mortgage crisis and manage things like Katrina and other sort of hazard events using that kind of data. So, yeah, I thought it was a very clear argument. Her company has sort of vested interest in there being a public-private partnership for such a database. And it's very timely, of course, since the folks at First American have announced their national cadastral database just in the past couple of months. So hopefully that helped put those set of ideas forward.
Yeah, and it got me wondering that if I was a committee member listening to these four witnesses, what is it that I wanted to get out from hearing from them? Was it the cost of what it's going to be to stand up a national spatial data infrastructure or land base? And it does seem like we've been working on this for a long time. There's been the National Map and several other initiatives. And I kind of wondered in reading through the testimony how many of the representatives on the committee were actually aware of what was going on. And I think that was probably more of a focus of Karen Citarellis' testimony.
And one more thing that Susan said at the beginning of her discussion had to do with, I think, trying to identify what the problem is. And I think if I was sitting in that hall, I'd be sort of looking at, you know, what is the, why aren't we where we should be? What is it that the problem is? And she made this statement, one of the missing components of making the NSDI a reality is a model and governance plan for data sharing and geospatial coordination. And that says to me, you know, we just don't have the people structure in place to make this happen. And I think that was echoed in some of the other discussions. In fact, let's move down to John Palatiello's discussion. In his discussion, he said, and I quote, "One of the shortcomings of the government's current geospatial management is the limited structure and participation of the Federal Geographic Data Committee, FGDC. Neither state and local government nor the private sector has a seat at the table. Broader participation by the private sector interests in setting policy and strategy for FGDC will result in a stronger offering that better represents the interest of the American public and American business and will engage all stakeholders." So again, we don't have the right structure in place. And he goes on to say that the big problem with the FGDC is it's essentially voluntary and secondary. I wouldn't disagree with that. So again, it's pointing a finger at not having the right people infrastructure in place.
And that's exactly right. And so I'm going to continue the discussion that he brought up to the committee with this statement, which followed on some of the comments that you just had, which is, "Mr. Chairman, the issue is not just that we built solid, impenetrable stovepipes in executive branch agencies, but I must say the problem begins here in Congress. There are more than 30 subcommittees and full committees of the Congress that have some oversight or legislative jurisdiction over geospatial activities." Well, with that kind of redundancy, it's not hard to figure out that the agencies themselves are confused and probably end up pointing fingers about whose responsibility is for this data type. And so there's a maze of poorly managed situations going on in and up and down the federal government.
I really respect the fact that both Susan Marlowe and John Palatiello identified this infrastructure, this people infrastructure problem, but also related that to its impact on the private sector, which both of them are really involved in. And trying to get the private sector more involved really seems to involve just better, you know, personnel infrastructure management there.
Some of the things that I think he pointed out in his testimony was how the government is stepping on the toes of the private sector, which has been one of John's issues for a long time. But I don't know if it was clearly articulated just how much investment the government is making in geospatial data and what that would mean for business. I didn't hear much about the return on investment that would come from a better management. I guess if I was sitting there as a committee member, I'd want to know how much is being spent and how this is going to benefit the taxpayer.
Right. Well, to be fair, That was one of those things that was discussed back in 2004. And it is my understanding that we still don't have a good number as to how much is, in fact, spent on geospatial.
So the only thing we can point to, and if you want to go to Michael Burns' testimony, he did identify what he thought at least it would cost to stand up a national spatial data infrastructure. He estimated the cost at $8 billion with the annualized maintenance of about $2.5 billion.
Right. And those are numbers. I think I've heard numbers like that thrown around before. But right, that's very valuable for the people in the room and trying to make sense of what this might cost. He went on to actually talk about what's going on within California, what the other states are doing, what an NSDI is. And most interesting to me, he looked at how we'll know when we get there, how will we know we're successful. And I thought this statement was quite valuable. A successful NSDI is reached when decision makers are regularly using digital map data in policy discussions every day. And we're certainly not there. In fact, we're probably, I would be surprised if decision makers are looking at that data once a month, maybe.
Yeah, it's really a shame because the one thing I've tried to say over and over again to people who I talk to at the state and local level is government is a fundamentally geospatial business. You don't make a move in anything in government, starting with your land base and your tax system, without understanding geospatial information. And that ripples all the way down to where you send the trucks to remove the snow on a snowy day. And do our elected officials actually use this technology in decision and policy making? Rarely. And I think I've asked that question of every politician I've ever interviewed, all the way from the governor of Montana to the city of Honolulu's mayor. And I've never gotten a great answer. They all stand up there and they talk a great story, but they often have trouble putting it into practice.
Going back to Burns' discussion, he also noted a people infrastructure problem. He noted that what we really need to do to get to that successful point with an NSDI is we need the leadership required, given the drastic advances in technology. And by that, he goes on to talk about the fact that there are not state GIOs in every state, and that would be a key step toward getting toward an NSDI.
Well, and he's also advocating a federal GIO in OMB. So I think he's probably a little bit frustrated as to not only getting federal oversight, but really doing a better coordination between state and federal level.
Right. So here's one more of our witnesses saying, right, we don't have the right infrastructure in place, people infrastructure. Let's move down to Karen Citarellis' discussion, which was quite lengthy and detailed basically all of the big programs and changes that have been going on within geospatial in the past 7 years, I'm guessing. I didn't get dates on everything. Things like the Smart Buy program and the geospatial line of business and efforts related to standards and efforts related to geospatial one-stop and the national map and so forth. What I thought was very interesting was at the very end in the discussion of NSDI, she articulated how she envisioned supporting growth toward an NSDI. And there were three specific things. One was, we will engage the nation in a dialogue about its geospatial future. We plan to hold a national geospatial open forum using new media to garner input from all corners of the country to seek out the best ideas for enhancing the national spatial data infrastructure. Second, we'll bring creative energy to making imagery for the nation a reality. That's timely. There was just a press release last week stating that 10 professional organizations had endorsed Imagery for the Nation, so there's a lot of energy going on there. And thirdly, she noted that we will bolster the geospatial governance structure that we now have in place. We will ensure that the FGDC is successful in providing unprecedented leadership to meet the geospatial needs of the federal government and of the nation in the 21st century. So it sounds like she's more about sort of tweaking the current state of the FGDC as opposed to some of these other suggestions that we've discussed that seem to be in other parts of the federal and state governments.
Just a little bit from Karen's point of view, I think she has to articulate if there have been successes and what she plans to do, because here, as you stated at the very beginning, we're 5 years down the road since the last Oversight Committee meeting, and there's this perception that not a lot has been done. In fact, maybe the situation has gotten worse in terms of coordination. So I think she had to come to the table with suggestions about what's going to be done. One of the things that are in place is the National Geospatial Advisory Committee, the NGAC, which is supposed to provide at least suggestions to the Federal Geographic Data Committee. And where that where the FGDC does not have to take all of the recommendations, I believe that what the NGAC is supposed to do or is trying to do is nudge the FGDC in the proper direction. And maybe they need to nudge a little harder because things maybe not getting done as quickly as they can.
Let's ask the really hard question. Is this hearing going to be the first step to making change? Is this going to have any impact?
I don't know how to answer that question. Should it have an impact? I hope that Representative Costa will take the action to start the ball rolling on either legislation, which I guess it has to be from Congress in order to make the executive branch move in the right direction. So that's got to be the logical outcome, and there has to be something more forceful than an oversight committee to get it moving. So it's in his lap to push the ball rolling downhill.
One thing I will say is, while none of this information was probably new to people in geospatial who've been following what's going on at the state and federal level, it was the opportunity for each of these leaders to pull together what they thought were the most important things and put them in front of the committee. And that in and of itself is very valuable. And those four short documents, I think, are very valuable to our community to help make sense of which things we think are valuable and important. And I think this provides some valuable input to the NGAC as well.
Yes, and I think the testimony by each was very good, and I would highly advise all of our listeners to take a look at those documents. They're excellent statements.
Three of the four of them are actually quite succinct. Clearly, folks did their homework, and I really appreciate that. I guess I'm not that optimistic that things are going to change anytime soon. We do have the situation that we do have a new sitting president, one that's really tied into technology. That may give us another boost. It may not. That's all the time we have this week. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like to let you know that the new version of ArcGIS Business Analyst Online provides a rich and intuitive Web 2.0 experience for customer segmentation, market analytics, and site evaluation. Designed to help you perform sophisticated analysis with zero software training, this easy-to-use hosted web application helps you discern the buying behaviors of your market. To learn more about the latest in ArcGIS Business Analyst Online, visit www.esri.com/whatsnewinBAO.
And we'd like to remind you that our call for papers and presentations for the 2009 Location Intelligence Conference ends this Friday, July 31st. So please submit your presentation if you'd like to participate in the event at our website at www.locationintelligence.net. And if you are interested in attending or making a presentation at our Rocket City Geospatial Conference, the premier event in the Southeast for GIS, that call for presentations opens on August 1st, and you can find out more information at rocketcitygeospatial.com.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can do so by emailing us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can also leave a comment at All Points Blog or Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.